بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى بسند المتصل منا الإمام المصنف رحمه الله تعالى وخطاب صحبة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبه قال حدثنا أبو بكر قال حدثنا يحيى بن زكريا بن أبي زائدة عن مالك بن الأشعري عن أبي حازم عن هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: تردون علي برا محجلين من الوضوء سيما أمتي ليس لأحد غيرها. This chapter, باب صفة أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Chapter on the qualities and attributes of the Ummah of the beloved of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this chapter, there's a number of hadith, number of ahadith, all of them mention a certain attribute or a quality of this ummah. If you look carefully at every single hadith in this bab, in this chapter, you will find a certain distinguishing quality of this blessed ummah. The first hadith that I have recited, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَرِدُونَ عَلَيَّ غُرًا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنَ الْوُضُوءِ. This is the first quality, that when we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, a special feature only and only for this ummah will be that their hands and feet will be shining. Min al-wudu, because of wudu. Sima'u ummati, or you can also say sima'u ummati, with qasr and with mad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, sima'hum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood. In Lisan al-Arab, Ibn Manzur has mentioned both to be correct, sima and sima'u ummati. This feature is only for my ummah. Laysa li ahadin ghayriha. It is not for any other ummah of any other prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. The second hadith, وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا. Here in the kitab there is a mistake, a print error. After Muhammad bin Bashar should be Muhammad bin Ja'far, not Yahya bin Muhammad bin Ja'far. Unfortunately, this copy of Sunan ibn Majah that we have in front of us is full of errors and mistakes. During the year, with the students, we discussed this at length, and we pointed out numerous mistakes due to a lack of cautiousness and carefulness in the printing of the books of Ahadith. And I would mention this for a reason. When we look at Sheikh Shu'ayb al-Nawut's Tahqiq, which has recently come out, you'll hardly find a single mistake. One of the most muhakkak and mu'tabar copies of the Sunnah of Imam ibn Majah. But when we look at this copy that we have in front of us, this print of the Qadimi Kutubkhana, it's full of mistakes. To the extent that with the students, we discussed, we mentioned so many mistakes, not only in the chain of narrators, but in the wording of the ahadith as well. When you compare the different copies and prints and nusakh, only then this can be realized. حدثنا محمد بن بشار حدثنا محمد بن جعفر حدثنا شعبة بن إسحاق عن عمرو بن ميمون عن عبد الله قال كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في قبة فقال أترضون أن تكونوا ربع أهل الجنة قلنا بلى قال أترضون أن تكونوا ثلث أهل الجنة قلنا نعم قال والذي نفسي بيده إني لأرجو أن تكونوا نصف أهل الجنة وذلك أن الجنة لا يدخلها إلا نفس مسلمة وما أنتم في أهل الشرك إلا كالشعرة البيضاء في جلد الثور الأسود أو كالشعرة السوداء في جلد الثور الأحمر. Without translating the hadith due to shortage of time, the distinguishing feature here is, there are two features here. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَن تَكُونُوا نِسْفَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. But I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that my ummah will be half of the people of Jannah. Half of the people of Jannah I hope will be from amongst my ummah. First Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to the Sahaba that are you pleased, will you be pleased if you were one third of the people of Jannah? Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues and says, I hope that you will be half of the people of Jannah. And then the second feature is mentioned, وَمَا أَنْتُمْ فِي أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ إِلَّا كَالشَّعْرَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ فِي جِلِّ الثَّوْلِ الْأَسْوَدِ. That this ummah is like a white hair on the back of a black colored bull. You have an animal completely black and you have one white hair, just one white hair. Imagine, that will stand out. That will stand out. If somebody has a black beard and has one single white hair, it stands out. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this distinguishing quality of this ummah, that on the day of Qiyamah, it will stand out. Because it will be like one white hair from amongst all the other black hairs. The next hadith, وبه قال حدثنا أبو قريب وأحمد بن سنان قال حدثنا معاوية بن الأعمش عن أبي صالح بن سعيد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجيء النبي ومعه الرجلان ويجيء النبي ومعه ثلاثة وأكثر من ذلك. This hadith mentions how certain أنبياء الكرام عليهم الصلاة والسلام will come on the day of Qiyamah. They will not have a single ummati or follower with them. One Nabi by himself. Another Nabi will come with maybe one or two followers. Another Nabi will come with a small group. Another Nabi will come with a slightly larger group. وَيُجِيهُ النَّبِيُّ وَمَعْهُ ثَلَاثَةً وَأَكْثَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكُ وَأَقَلُ وَيُقَالُ لَهُ هَلْ بَلَّغْتَ قَوْمَكَ. All the prophets will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did you convey the message of Allah to your people? And the prophet will say yes. From some narrations we mentioned, we understand that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's name is mentioned in particular. He will be asked, did you convey my message to your people? And he will say yes. Then the people of Nuh will be asked, and they will reply no. Imagine, after 950 years of tabligh, the people of Nuh will reply, no, nobody came to us. Nobody came to us. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Nuh alayhi salam, who will testify for you? Who will testify for you? And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam will say that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will testify for me. We are the last ummah, but we will be asked to testify for the likes of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and other great messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this in itself is another distinguishing feature for this ummah on the day of Qiyamah. وَيُذْعَى قَوْمُ وَيُقَالَ هَلْ بَلَّغَكُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ لَا. They will say no. فيقال من يشهد لك؟ فيقول محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمته، فتدعى أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيقال هل بلغ هذا؟ فيقولون نعم. This ummah will say yes and give testimony. فيقول وما علمكم بذلك؟ فيقولون أخبرنا نبينا بذلك أن الرسل قد بلغوا فصدقناه. قال فذلكم قوله تعالى وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا. In some narrations and in some copies and nusakh, there is a ziyadati here, there is an extra wording. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا قَالَ عَدْلًا قَالَ عَدْلًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. وبه قال حدثنا أبو بكر وأبي شيبة قال حدثنا محمد بن موسى بن الأوزاعي أن يحيى بن أبي كثير النار بن أبي ميمون قال من لسان بن فاتح الجهني قال صدرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال والذي نفس محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بيده ما من عبد يؤمن ثم يسدد إلا سرك به في الجنة وأرجو أن لا يدخلوها حتى تبوأوا أنتم ومن صلح من ذراريكم مساكن في الجنة. Another distinguishing feature of this ummah, that we are the last ummah, this ummah is the last ummah, but this ummah will be the first to be reckoned. And this ummah will be the first to enter Jannah. It came last, but it will enter Jannah first. وَلَقَدْ وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي أَزَّ وَجَلْ. A second feature, a second distinguishing feature of this ummah, mentioned in the same hadith, وَلَقَدْ وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي أَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ يُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّةِ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That from my ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised me that He will enter 70,000 without hisab. Without hisab. Without adab. Without hisab. 70,000 people will be entered into Jannah. Another noble distinguishing feature, sifa of this great ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us from amongst the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وبه قال حدثنا هشام بن عمار قال حدثنا اسماعيل بن عياش حدثنا محمد بن زياد الالهاني قال سمعت أمامة الباهلي رضي الله عنه يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وعدني ربي سبحانه ان يدخل الجنه من امتي 70,000 لا حساب عليهم ولا عذاب مع كل الف 70,000 وثلاث حثيات من حثيات ربي عز وجل. In this, there is an extra bit. With every thousand from those 70,000 will be another 70,000. So with every thousand from the 70,000 will be a further 70,000 people from this ummah who will enter the Jannah without any reckoning. وبه قال حدثنا عيسى بن محمد بن نحاس الرملي وايوب بن محمد الرقي قال حدثنا دمرة بن ربيعة ان النشود بن بحث بن حكيم النبي جده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نكمل يوم القيامة 70 أمة نحن آخرها. Another distinguishing feature that Allah سبحانه وتعالى had sent previously 70 ummats, 69 ummats, and this ummah is the last ummah. We will complete the 70th ummah and the final ummah. وبه قال حدثنا محمد خالد بن الفجار قال حدثنا اسمع بن علي عن بحر بن حكيم النبي جده قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول انكم وفيتم 70 أمة. You have completed 70 ummas. انتم خيرها واكرمها على الله. You are the best and the beloved and the chosen to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وبه قال حدثنا ابو ذر بن اسحاق الجوهري قال حدثنا حسين بن حفص الاصبهاني قال حدثنا سفيان بن مرت بن سليمان بن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اهل الجنه 20 و100 صف. That the people of Jannah will consist of 120 rows, 120 saf. 80 min hadhihi al ummah wa 40 min sa'il al umam. 80 saf from those 120, 80 will be from this ummah and 40 will be all the other ummahs put together. Now here we have an ishkal that in the first hadith we mentioned, the second hadith we mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, أَتَرْضَوْنَ أَن تَكُونُوا ثُلُثَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued and said, وَأَرْجُوا أَن تَكُونُوا نِصْفَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. I hope from Allah that you will be half of the dwellers of the people of Jannah. So here we have a narration saying that I hope that you will be half. And in this hadith, from 120 rows, 80, that makes two-thirds. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has answered this objection and this contradiction in the two ahadith, one answer he has given is that in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that one third will enter Jannah from this ummah. Then he was informed that half of this ummah, half the people of Jannah will be from this ummah. So in the first instance, one third of the people of Jannah will be from this ummah. Then he was informed that half of the people of Jannah will be from this ummah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his infinite mercy that two thirds of the people of Jannah will be from this ummah. Another answer given with regards to this contradiction, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in the Sharh of Mishkat al-Lama'at, Lama'at al-Tanqih, that this, the first hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أرجو أن تكونوا نصف أهل الجنة. So if you look at the words carefully, the word in the first hadith mentions that I hope that you will be half of the people of Jannah. Arju. This is my hope. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O my beloved, even though you hope from me that your people be half of the dwellers of Jannah, but I, through my mercy, have decided that not half, but two-thirds of your ummah, O my beloved, will be the dwellers of Jannah. So this is how Shah Abdul Haq Muhaddith al-Dahlawi rahmatullahi alayhi has answered to this contradiction in these two ahadith. وبه قال حدثنا محمد يحيى قال حدثنا أبو سلمة عن حماد بن سلمة. Here they're supposed to be عن حدثنا أبو سلمة then عن حماد بن سلمة عن سعيد بن إياس الجريري عن أبي نضرة بن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نحن آخر الأمم وأول من يحاسب. Another distinguishing feature: we are the last of the ummats, but we will be the first to be reckoned for. يقال, it will be announced on the day of قيامة أين الأمة الأمية ونبيها فنحن الآخرون الأولون. We are last, but we will be the first to be resurrected, to be reckoned for, and to be entered into Jannah. وبه قال حدثنا جبارة بن المغلس قال حدثنا عبد العال بن أبي المصابر عن أبي بردة نبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جمع الله الخلائق يوم القيامة أذن لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في السجود. Another distinguishing feature of this ummah, that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be asked to prostrate and perform sajda. فَيَسْجُدُونَ لَهُ طَوِيلًا ثُمَّ يُقَالْ اِرْفَعُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ قَدْ جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَكُمْ فِدَاءَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. Fida means ransom. And what happens is, when, say for example, if somebody is imprisoned or captured, jailed, in those days, you'd have to pay a ransom to free that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says here, تَجْعَلْنَا عِدَّتَكُمْ فِدَاءَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, that a disbeliever will take the place of a believer in Jahannam. We understand from a hadith that we've recited, we've studied in Mishkat, Babu Ithbati Adhab al-Qabr, and also in Sunnah Ibn Majah, that every person, believer or disbeliever, has two abodes. مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدْ إِلَّا لَهُ مَنْزِلًا. That, and in some other narrations, إِلَّا وَقَدْ كُتِبَ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةُ وَمَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That every single person has two abodes, two places. One in Jannah, one in Jahannam. If this person, this individual dies and leaves this dunya with iman, then he goes into Jannah. If this individual dies without iman, he goes into Jahannam. But because every individual has two places, one in Jannah, one in Jahannam, we understand from the hadith of Ibn Majah, also narrated by Sahib Mishkat in Mishkat al-Masabi, that when a person is entered into the grave and the Munkar al-Nakir appear, it's a lengthy hadith, the questions that are asked, Man Rabbuk, Man Nabiyuk, Ma Deenuk, the three questions of the grave, after which the angels, Munkar Nakir, say to this person, this believer, if he, this person who is a believer, the mu'min, if he answers all the answers correctly, he is told that this is your abode. You will enter Jannah now. This will be your place on the day of Qiyamah. This is your abode. This is your resting place. And look to your left. If you had not believed, then this would have been your place. You would have gone to the fire of hell, and he is shown his position and his place in the fire of hell. But then the window to the fire of hell is closed in the qabr, and then the door of and the windows of Jannah are open for him in his grave. Similarly, a person who leaves this world without iman, he is shown both. He is shown his Jannah and he is shown his Jahannam. And he is told that if you had believed, you would have entered Jannah. This would have been your Jannah. This was your place. But you did not believe, so now this place in Jahannam is your final abode. So we understand from that hadith as well, that every single individual has two places. Now the question is, what will happen? The believer had a place in Jahannam. He's going to Jannah. What will happen to his place in Jahannam? Similarly, the disbeliever, the kafir, who had a place in Jannah, he's going to Jahannam. What will happen to his place in Jannah? The answer is here. قَدْ جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَكُمْ فِدَاءَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, that we, the believers, will take the places of the kuffar that they left, and the kuffar will take the places of the believers, which they, the kuffar who enter Jahannam, will take the places of those believers who have gone to Jannah and have left their places in Jahannam behind because they did not enter Jahannam.
وبه قال حدثنا جبارة بن المغلس قال حدثنا كثير بن سليم عن رسول مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذه الأمة مرحومة عذابها بأيديها وإذا كان يوم القيامة دفي إلى كل رجل من المسلمين رجل رجلا رجل من المشركين ويقال هذا فداؤك من النار.
Similar to the hadith that we have just covered. Now if you look at these ahadith, the first hadith has no illah, no weakness, no kalam. Second hadith is similar. Third hadith is similar. The fourth hadith,
حدثنا أبو بكر بن أبي شيبة قال حدثنا محمد بن مصعب عن الأوزاعية عن يحيى بن أبي كثير عن هلال بن أبي ميمونة.
The narrator from whom Abu Bakr bin Abi Shayba narrates, Muhammad bin Mus'ab. Muhammad bin Mus'ab is a da'if and a weak narrator. In spite of this, Allama Busiri in Zawaid and Sheikh Shu'aib al-Nawut in his new tahqiq has mentioned that this hadith is sahih, meaning sahih li ghayrihi. Now the reason why I'm mentioning these few terms is many people assume that if a narrator is declared weak, then the hadith becomes weak. That's not the case. And for this, there has to be extensive, deep studies have to be made to declare a hadith weak, acceptable or unacceptable. Now, if you look at the condition of this narrator, Muhammad ibn Mus'ab, unanimously, he is a da'if rawi. He is weak in himself. In spite of this, this hadith is sahih. How is this? This is due to a qaida, a asl, a rule of the muhaddithin. that when you have a hadith that is slightly weak, and on the other side you have supporting narrations, then that certain hadith is upgraded to the rank of either sahih li ghayrihi or hasan li ghayrihi. If the weakness is less, then it is upgraded to sahih li ghayrihi, and if the weakness is great, then it is upgraded to the rank of hasan li ghayrihi. And then we mentioned, we studied in mustalah al hadith i'tibar and mutaba'at, and the two types of mutaba'at, mutaba'at tamma, mutaba'at qasira, and shawahid. Now here in this hadith, due to supporting narrations, this hadith has left the category of da'if and entered into the category of sahih li ghayrihi. Due to mutaba'at. The difference between mutaba'at and shawahid, we mentioned in mustalahat al-hadith earlier in the year, that if it is narrated from the same sahabi, it will be referred to as a shahid, and if it's reported from a different sahabi, then it will be referred to as mutaba'ah. And if the mutaba'ah is with regards to the same shaykh, then it is mutaba'at tamma, and if it's from a different shaykh, then it will be referred to as mutaba'at qasira. Here you have both. With regards to this hadith, there is both types of mutaba'ah, mutaba'at tamma and mutaba'at qasira. Supporting narrations are tam and qasir. Imam Ahmad has mentioned this hadith in Musnad. Ibn Hibban has mentioned this hadith in his Sahih. Imam Tabarani has mentioned it. Imam Bayhaqi has mentioned it in Shu'ab al-Iman. From all narration, from different chains of transmissions, all reach Imam Awza'i. And this is why this mutaba'at is mutaba'ati tamma. And then you have Imam Abu Dawud At-Tayalisi in his Musnad, again Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Imam Bazzar in his Musnad, Imam Tabarani, Imam Abu Mu'aym in Hilyatul Awliya. They mention the same hadith, but from another narrator, Yahya, and this is why these are referred to as mutaba'at qasira. Also in Zawaid, Imam Busiri mentions that لم ينفرد به عن الأوزائي كما رواه النسائي في عمل اليوم والليلة. That Imam Nasa'i in عمل اليوم والليلة has mentioned this hadith. Now, some of our students, most of our students will not be surprised. We've covered every single hadith in Ibn Majah which has been declared موضوع. Approximately 40 hadith which had been declared موضوع by various muhaddithin. We have in detail scrutinized every single hadith throughout the year, and we have reached different conclusions. To the fact that Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi has written a complete kitab, Ta'aqqubatu Suyuti ala Mawdu'ati Ibn al-Jawzi, refuting those claims by Ibn al-Jawzi that certain ahadith in Ibn Majah are mawdu. In reality they are not mawdu. So, earlier I mentioned that to say that certain hadith is da'if because a narrator is da'if, that's not enough. This is not every man's cup of tea. We cannot just sit down with a book of hadith and say, this hadith is da'if, get rid of it. It's not hujjat. It's not acceptable. You lift the mawdu'at of Ibn al-Jawzi, people lift the mawdu'at of Ibn al-Jawzi and they say, this hadith is mawdu'. Is that sufficient? No. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi has written his Ta'aqqubat Suyuti ala Mawdu'at Ibn al-Jawzi, and one by one has refuted many of Ibn al-Jawzi's claims and said that Ibn al-Jawzi has said this hadith is mawdu. No. And then in detail scrutinizes every single narrator, every single
tariq and sanad of the hadith from the books of hadith through mutaba'at tamma, mutaba'at qasira, shawahid, the tariq of i'tibar mentioned in Mustalah al-Hadith, and reaches the conclusion that this hadith is not mawdu, but it is either da'if or hasan li ghayrihi, or even sahih li ghayrihi. So, to claim a hadith is da'if or mawdu is not every person's job. And to understand the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the duty of every believer, or every student, or every person. This duty lies upon the ulama of the ummah. If the ulama guide the people, then it is sufficient for the awam and the followers to go by their word. It is not up to the awam to lift a book of hadith and say this hadith is da'if, this hadith is fabricated. Until we do not have complete knowledge of all the books of hadith, all the mutaba'at and shawahid from different narrations, how are we to decide which hadith is acceptable and which hadith is not acceptable? Similarly, this last hadith, the last hadith, is a special hadith. The last hadith from the authority of Jubara ibn al-Mughallis, who narrates from Kathir bin Sulaym, who narrates from Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This hadith, if you look at the narrators and the chain of transmission, you'll find that between Imam ibn Majah rahmatullahi alayh and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are only three narrators. Only three narrators. Jubara ibn al-Mughallis, number two, Kathir bin Sulaym, and number three, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this hadith is the fifth and the final thulathi narration of Sunan of Imam ibn Majah rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi has written a sharaf on Alfiyah of Imam Iraqi, Fathul Mughith. There's one Fathul Mughith, and recently, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Mawlana Idris Khandilwi rahmatullahi alayhi's Sharah on Alfiyah has appeared in the market. Minhatul Mughith. A must for all our students. Minhatul Mughith. Fathul Mughith is by Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi, the Sharah of Alfiyah. In there, he mentions a few poems. وَطَلَبُ الْأُلُوِّ سُنَّةٌ وَقَدْ وَطَلَبُ الْأُلُوِّ سُنَّةٌ وَقَدْ فَضَّلَ بَعْضٌ النُّزُولَ وَهُوَ رَدْ وَقَسَّمُوهُ خَمْسَةً فَالْأَوَّلُ قُرْبٌ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ وَهُوَ الْأَفْضَلُ. The essence of this poem is that to seek ulu and a high rank in your sanad is a sunnah. We understand from the hadith of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Sayyidina Hazrat Dhimam ibn Tha'laba radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife came to the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what did he say? Atana Rasulukum. That your messenger came to us and conveyed your message to us. We have heard your message, but I have come personally to hear what you had sent your messenger with. Here, the Imam ibn Tha'laba radiallahu ta'ala anhu had been conveyed the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then why did he feel the need to travel and come to Medina? Why? The answer is simple. Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi says, for he wanted to hear these blessed words, not from the messenger of the Messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but directly from the words and the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi says that this is a sunnah, and this is why Zainuddin al-Iraqi says, وَطَلَبُ الْعُلُوِّ سُنَّةٌ. Sunnah of the Sahaba, also a sunnah of Sahaba, and also a sunnah of other Sahaba who came later on. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu traveled from Medina Munawwara
took a journey which takes 1 month, went from Medina Munawwara all the way to Sham and Syria. And who did he go to? Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to listen to one hadith. He traveled 1 month. Why? He knew the hadith. He knew that Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala anhu raised this hadith. Why did he go? Why did he travel 1 month? Because he wanted to hear, he wanted to remove the wasta. He wanted to remove the narrator who comes between him and Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the intermediary. He wanted to remove it so that there is only one wasta, one intermediary between himself and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until now there were two. The one, the narrator that he heard from, and he then narrated from Abdullah bin Unais. So he traveled to Syria so that he can hadith, listen to this hadith and hear this hadith himself from Abdullah bin Unais, sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that this hadith is elevated from being a thunai to a wahdani. One wasta, one intermediary. Similarly, Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, traveled from Medina Munawwara all the way to Egypt and Misr to hear one hadith. Man satara mu'minan satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirati yawm al qiyamah, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had this hadith, had heard this hadith, but from someone else who had narrated this hadith from Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So he wanted to cut out this intermediary, this wasta from in between, so that this hadith is upgraded from the rank of being a thunai to a wahdani narration, so that there is only one intermediary between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is exactly what Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioning in Fathul Mughith. And this is what Imam Zainuddin al-Iraqi is pointing to. وَطَلَبُ الْأُلُوِّ سُنَّةٌ وَقَدْ فَضَّلَ بَعْضٌ النُّزُولَ وَهُوَ رَدْ وَقَسَّمُوهُ خَمْسَةً فَالْأَوَّلُ قُرْبٌ مِّنَ الرَّسُولِ وَهُوَ الْأَفْضَلُ. Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi continues and says, why? Why did these people undertake these hardships? Why? My asatiza, alhamdulillah, apart from Hazrat Marna Islam al-Haqsab rahmatullahi alayhi, my asatiza are here today amongst us. Our students of Darul Uloom, mashallah, have studied from my asatiza. Our students of Madinatul Uloom have studied from us, and we have studied under the guidance of our asatiza in Darul Uloom. Now, if these students of Madinatul Uloom study under the asatiza of Darul Uloom, they have taken me out from their sanad, and their sanad is then greater and higher than previous. Because one intermediary, meaning their teacher, is removed. This is just to explain. And this is sunnah. This should be done. We should not be shy. We should not feel that how and why should I remove my teacher from my sanad. No, you keep your teacher in your sanad. But together with keeping your teacher, you gain another sanad, which is far greater than the sanad of your previous sanad. Because the wasa'id, the wasta', the intermediaries will be less. And this is exactly the sunnah of our pious predecessors and our salaf. Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, amazingly, he mentions some beautiful things in Fathul Mughith. He mentions how some of his shuyukh, the sanads of some of his shuyukh, some of his senior shuyukh, were ushariyat. Between his senior shuyukh and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were 10 wasa'id, 10 intermediaries. Then he mentions tusa'iyat, that from the shuyukh of his shuyukh to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were 9 wasta'id, 9 intermediaries. Then he mentions the examples, amazing examples of Thumaniyat, then Suba'iyat,
then sudasiyat, then khumasiyat, then rubaiyat. All these different types of sanad. The greater the sanad, the higher the sanad, the closer we will be to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Zainuddin al-Iraqi rahmatullahi alayhi is saying in Alfiyah, that وَقَسَّمُوهُ خَمْسَةً فَالْأَوَّلُ قُرْبٌ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ وَهُوَ الْأَفْضَلُ قُرْبٌ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ وَهُوَ الْأَفْضَلُ. Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi adds in the sharah, not only that we will be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the closer we are to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer we will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions all these ushariyat, usaiyat, kumaniyat, subaiyat, sudasiyat, kumasiyat. Then he mentions rubaiyat. And he mentions how the Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, high sanad is rubai. Also the high sanad of Imam Nasai rahmatullahi alayhi is rubai. He mentions how Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Imam Tabarani, Imam Darimi's high sanad is thulathi. In Ibn Majah, we've covered that there are five thulathi narrations. In Sahih Bukhari, there are 22 thulathi narrations. From them 22 thulathi narrations, 16 of them are narrated on the authority of Hazrat Salama bin Akwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and from them 16, from them 11 narrations of Salama bin Akwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 11 are narrated on the authority of Makki bin Ibrahim, a famous student of Imam Adam Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. I conclude upon this. For detail, I would request our students to study Maulana Mufizur Rahman Shat Ghami's kitab Al-Warda Al-Hadira, Al-Wardatu Al-Hadira Fi Ahadith Talamid Al-Imam Al-A'zam Wa Ahadith Al-Ulama Al-Ahnaf Fi Al-Jami' Al-Sahih Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, printed by Zamzam Publishers. In this kitab, Maulana Mufizur Rahman Shat Ghami Al-Wardatu Al-Hadira mentions that a total of 115 shuyukh of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi are either direct students of Imam Adam Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, or they are actually Hanafi scholars, teachers of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, the likes of Ayyub Sakhtiani, Sufyan Thawri, Sufyan bin Uyayna, Shu'bah bin Hajjaj, Abdullah bin Mubarak, Udayl bin Iyad, Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, Yahya ibn Ma'in. These great scholars, shuyukh and teachers of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, were all students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And then Imam Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions thunaiyat, he mentions wahdaniyat, where between a narrator and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam there is only one single narrator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the knowledge of hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting here, our coming here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ilm nafi, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting here. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.